Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're the hosts of the Anxiety Chicks podcast, where we dive deep into the reality of anxiety, nutrition, and mental health.
Listen as we explore all things anxiety healing while keeping it real, including our own struggles with mental health.
We'll bring our expertise as healing professionals to the conversation while discussing the tools and strategies you need to heal the anxious mind.
Listen to the Anxiety Chicks on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I am Allison Sepinera.
And I'm Taylor.
And we are back this week for our monthly Q&A, which I love. And I know a lot of you have been telling me that you really enjoy to answer some of your questions. So we have a bunch of new questions for today, which I'm really excited about. And since we're kind of limited on time today, why don't we just jump right in?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'll go first.
Sounds good.
Okay. So someone asked, how do you deal with grieving someone who hasn't passed yet, has like a terminal illness? And, you know, I really love this question because it basically happened to me before my dad died. And it is something that's so unique to everybody, the way they experience grief. And, you know, I don't think people really understand that the grieving process, a lot of times it really starts when someone is sick or has a terminal illness or is like declining, that the grieving literally starts. So it starts before they even pass away. And I feel like that's really what I remember like embracing a little bit, knowing that I was starting to grieve the loss of my dad, mostly because like he was a shell of himself the last like year and a half of his life. He wasn't really himself anyway. So I feel like I started grieving when I lost really who he was and used to be. And that process is really, really hard because sometimes seeing someone you love in pain and sick is almost harder than when they die, because at least they're at peace and they're like not hurting anymore. So that time of going through seeing my dad, oh my gosh, like that, the grief was like so strong and painful. And honestly, what helped me through it, it feels like a daze at this point. Like, I don't even, I just know I have some like snippets in my brain of visions that I hate, that I just don't like thinking about. But what actually helped me survive that time was my support system. So even though everyone, you know, my mom and my sister, we were all like grieving, we were together a lot and we were showed up for each other. My friends really understood. Even some friends, I actually got really close to a couple girlfriends that had lost their father, and they were reaching out to me a lot more. And so I kind of like allowed myself to be vulnerable with them. And I also went to therapy a lot more often. Like I was going 2 times a week sometimes just to cry and trying to make sense of everything. And so I think when you go through grief, like having a support system can be something that's just really, really helpful in that situation. Also, if you're depending on what type of terminal illness your loved one is going through, there's support groups out there through like churches and through like I know with Alzheimer's and dementia, there's a lot of support groups for like foundations with Alzheimer's and dementia in my city and like Philadelphia and in other cities. So you might want to reach out and like look online to see if there's any support groups. But yeah, anything, and even like support groups with a bereavement center in your area, or like a grief counseling center, if there is, because anticipatory grief is like a huge thing and there might be some support there. So I would just say, make sure to take care of yourself too. Like you need to fill your cup. You need to like go home and like whatever care you can give yourself, you have to do that, even though it's so hard to leave that person or like you want to be with them all the time. You really sometimes need to just take a little bit of a break, give yourself permission to do that, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's like what's going on with my grandma right now. She's just not doing well.
Yeah.
And you definitely have to take care of yourself. And I think we even had an episode over caretaker anxiety, and that was a really good one.
Yeah, I'll find out what episode that is.
Okay, next question. How do I stop thinking bad thoughts and causing myself anxiety? I think this question provides the answer. What I mean by that is a lot of times when we are almost like telling ourselves, don't think that thought, don't panic like that, when you're telling yourself don't, you're causing it so much more attention to where you're actually bringing in feelings and emotions that it's almost like your body's fighting it. So rather than saying don't, almost accepting and allowing anxiety into your life, looking at anxiety as it's a thing, it's there, it sometimes appears, but it's not a problem to you. I think a lot of times we make anxiety out to be this big scary thing, and when we think about it, we end up causing ourselves anxiety. I know when my panic attacks got super bad, I started having anxiety about having anxiety. It was just this whole cycle, and you can't get out of it, because when you're not having anxiety, you're thinking about when you're going to have anxiety again next, and then it's just boom, 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 boom. And I think the more we fight it, the more we cause it. So just really trying to be loving almost to anxiety and accepting to, if it is to come and if it is to happen, I am capable and fully able to handle it.
I love that. So true. What resists persists is like my new mantra.
Yeah.
Right. If you resist something and you keep just wanting to like, oh my gosh, get that thought out of here. Go away. You know,
yeah,
it's going to persist and it's going to get even stronger. So you need to embrace what's happening, maybe get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable for a little bit, and then recognize that, you know, thoughts aren't facts, and there's a way to shift that thinking pattern. It just takes practice.
Absolutely.
Okay, I found caregiver anxiety, struggling with a sick loved one, is episode 44. Okay, so if anyone from question one needs help with
episode
that.
Episode 44?
I know.
Wait, no, we did one recently though.
That was a long time. Oh, really? There might have been another time we talked about it. But this, the actually caregiver anxiety one that we talked about was 44, because that's like when I was going through like the stuff with my dad.
Huh.
And really going through it. But maybe there is a more recent one we talked about. Oh, you know what? There is, because with your, we talked about
episode
an updated
136.
One. Yeah, we talked an update. So it's 44 and 136 with your grandma.
146.
Oh, okay. So yeah. 146 and 44.
Awesome.
Those two episodes. Okay. All right. Let me get my next question. Hang on.
Wait, you said you had a rough day. What happened?
Oh my God, you guys. I just went live and talked about this. Okay, this is going to really be 2 minutes long. Okay, not even.
That's
because
fine.
It was I basically had like a panic attack in Marshalls, because I was like, I've been having this like health anxiety thing happen with thinking I have blood clots and like,
wait,
I feel
what?
Like, I know this has been, oh, no, this been is there. Just today. This is just today with the blood clot thing in my brain. But I've been, since I had shingles, I've had like some nerve damage, I think, on my leg since it happened. Not like bad, but I've had this one spot behind my knee that's like, feels like a knot, like it feels like tight, and it goes in and out. And I just started like spiraling today out of nowhere. Yeah. And I was like in the department in Marshalls, and I was like, oh my God, I just like literally almost had a panic attack. And I was able to like, I called like a friend of mine that's a doctor, and he like assured me it wasn't a clot right now. Like I would know, but I have a doctor's appointment coming up.
Okay, wait, what did he say that assured you? Just for people who also worry about that.
Oh yeah,
I get messages all the time, and I've definitely been there and thought I had a blood clot.
So he said, okay, he basically said, okay, is it really swollen? Is your calf really swollen? Is it really sensitive to the touch? Does it hurt a lot? Is it in a lot of pain? Are you able to like lift your toes up without it
hurting? Lift your toes up. Okay.
Actually lifting your toes and like putting weight on your foot. And like, is it discolored? Is there discoloration around it or anything? And I'm like no,
redness.
No, like none of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like none of that. First he said swollen, like really swollen something. And And he was like, no, you would know. Like, that's really what it means. He's like, he said, you know, it's possible you could have like something. And he mentioned like some type of cyst that's benign. Mm-hmm. That's like not.
Baker cyst?
I think so. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been working out a lot?
Yeah.
Playing pickleball?
Not so much lately, but I've been, you know, doing like
dance classes
and
all?
Stuff, like bar and like, and some other like weightlifting stuff.
Yeah, especially behind the knees, the Baker cyst.
Interesting. So, yeah. So anyway, I'm going to get it checked out. I'm going to go to my doctor. I'm going to see what she says. And then the best part was I felt so disoriented after this happened. And like, I still was short of breath.
That's the
I was
worst.
Like, felt like my chest was so heavy. All the things, like my stomach, I was just so like
brain fog.
Oh my God. I was really trying to breathe. And on my ride home, I got pulled over by a cop.
No.
Because
tell me you just like said, listen, sir.
I literally started crying and I was like, God, I hope he doesn't think I'm this light. You know, I don't want him to think I'm too not able to
He's
drive
like,
right now.
Let's test for a DUI.
Right. I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's like, it's okay. Don't worry. You know, he's trying to be nice. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm crying. I was like, I'm just going to CVS to pick up my medicine. I was like, what did I do? I didn't even know what I did.
What'd you do?
He's like, well, it's what you didn't do. You didn't stop that fully at that stop sign back there. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't. And I didn't even remember. And honestly, he's like, you know what? He's like, where do you live? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I live at the Grand, like right over there. But you know what? You're right. I don't stop at these stop signs as well as I should. And I probably needed this to happen because I actually...
Yeah.
I was like, I'm really sorry. I don't know what the ticket is, but I get it. And he was like, yeah, they're really cracking down in the neighborhoods just about stop signs. He's like, so I actually have like two to six every day. I just look for people running through stop signs. I'm like, oh my God, that's good to know. And he's like, yeah, you just want to be careful. So he gave me a warning.
Oh, okay.
He was really nice.
Nice guy.
Nothing like getting pulled over by a cop to like snap you back into reality.
Right.
Because I literally was not disoriented or anything after that. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm awake. Like I like woke up again.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I was like, wow, he was really cute. It's like the cop was really cute.
You're like, matter of fact, are you single?
I was like, what's your name, John? Hi.
Hi, John. Could you just write down like, your contact info
like,
real quick?
Oh, this girl that's just like crying. But I was just started crying because I was still so anxious from like thinking I was going to die like a minute ago.
John, listen. Life's really hard right now.
It was like, and he's like, you're good. I'm like, I just got this. He's like, is this your car? And I was like, rude.
What?
Yes, I have a nice car. I don't know
what
why
the heck.
I don't know, it was weird, but I was like,
are you sure this is yours?
But he was really nice, and I'm like, okay, now I know John. He patrols around here. He seems like someone that could help me if I feel like, you know. But you should have seen me my drive home. I went to CVS. I stopped at every stop sign for like 10 seconds. I was like looking both ways like 15 times. I was like, okay. It was just a day, and I'm like,
a day.
Now I'm doing this, and I just want this day. You know, I just want the day to be over.
You just want to get your PJs on, and you want to watch your show and settle down.
I'm ready for it to
you
be
just
over.
Need a break. Yeah,
I want to go to the doctor, and I just like want to make sure I'm okay, and I know I am. I just like, you know, you have an F spiral, and it's This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm telling you, my social battery has been so drained lately. I feel like winter is always just more relaxing for me because it's so easy to hibernate. But as the days get warmer and longer, it's so hard for me to say no, especially when all I want to do is be outside, get active, and I have so much more energy and there's so many more invitations to parties and other social events, but I get so spread thin so easily. And when I feel like I'm spread thin, I honestly can make myself sick physically and mentally, mostly because I'm not sleeping well and I just like feel the pressure to say yes to everything. And honestly, I'm someone who really needs my alone time to recharge. That's why I'm so happy I have my weekly therapy sessions, because it's helped me understand that it's really okay to say no more. And it's actually healthy for me to learn how to take a step back and recharge so I can kind of build a social life that doesn't drain my battery, you know? I really don't know where I would be today without therapy, honestly. It is a huge part of my healing toolkit. It's really helped me become a better version of myself by learning healthy boundaries, especially when it comes to like social interactions and social events. And therapy has just created such a safe space for me to be vulnerable and really process through my deepest fears. Therapy is always going to be one of the coping tools in my toolkit that I'll prioritize. And remember, you don't have to have a reason to go to therapy, you guys. Maybe you just want to talk about life and learn more about yourself, but you really don't need a reason just to talk to someone. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/achicks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/achicks. Anyway, so where were we? I just kind of answered a question maybe for some people because we're talking about.
You want me to do the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh my God. I just scrolled and guess what it says. What do you do when you have a scary looking spot on skin?
Oh my God.
That's so funny. But I think that's more so referring to like weird mole or something looking. And I think that a lot of people spiral with this because, you know, we hear about skin cancer. A lot of moles can look funny. I mean, I'm a very moly girl. You're very freckly too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're both
going
very
to that
freckly.
Next week too. My dermatologist
yeah.
next
so
week too.
So
yeah.
I think if you're just like a really freckly person, what helps me keep a peace of mind is going to my skin checkups. They actually, because I am so moly, we do it every 6 months. And so,
yes, me too.
When they're taking pictures and monitoring all your, I mean, they're putting every little detail measurement, get a very good dermatologist and they're putting every little detail on your odd looking moles. And I would say dermatologists go above and beyond on taking off things at any chance they can, even if tiny bit suspicious. But for me, I find such a peace of mind in knowing like, okay, hey, I just went, they measured it, they're going to measure it again. Not a lot can happen. If you're very on top of things, they can catch it and not a lot can happen. It's when people let things go for a really long time. Like if you think about the generation before ours, they didn't get skin checks. So it was like, oh my gosh, Susan died of skin cancer. And it's like, yeah, because she never went
right
to the dermatologist for a skin exam. And then it was really bad. You know, it's like, 100%. I feel like our generation and the one below us is like really getting on top of like making sure they're checking their, going to their skin exams. I mean, and it's covered by insurance too. So
yeah, it is. But unfortunately, it's still considered like cosmetic or something. So it's still expensive. Like the copays can still be expensive for in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's not cool.
But I will say that, I think you're right. Like there's so many, there's so much that they know now about like the skin and like your dermatologist, if he or she is good, will say, okay, you have a lot of moles. Like you should come every 6 months. Like mine does. And they're like, come every six months.
They take pictures, they measure.
Yeah, they take pictures. Like they know exactly. Mine like takes notes through her voice, a voice text of like everything she sees.
And they're saying like weird stuff, right? They're like diameter 3/6.
Yes.
You're like, wait, what are you saying? What is that?
And everything. And I'm like, oh, that sounds bad. But yeah, it's not. But I think that, you know, what's funny too, not just about what happened today with my health, anxiety, knee thing. About 2 days ago, I had something on my back. And now I live alone, right? So anything that's on my back, I check, like try and check in the mirror the best I can, or like I take pictures and look at myself. And it was like itchy and I was like scratching and it was like, it basically felt like a bug bite, right? That was raised, like a mosquito bite. When you get a mosquito bite and it raises up your skin. And I'm like, but I didn't get bit. And I start thinking, like looking at it, it was red. And I'm like, oh my God, what is that? And I literally started kind of spiraling. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh. Okay. I need to get a dermatologist appointment like right away. I set one up for Monday. I mean, I needed one anyway, but I remember thinking, okay, do I know anyone that's a dermatologist? Can I like get someone to just look at this real quick? Oh my gosh. Okay. I didn't Google. I was very proud of myself. I'm like, okay, I'm going to check it tomorrow morning. I'm going to see what happens. But I was like starting to spiral about this thing. And the next morning it was gone.
Hey, at least you made your dermatologist appointment.
No, I know. And I'm like, good. And it's a new dermatologist I've wanted to get into too. And I'm like, okay. Oh, good. Okay. Well, and I need to get my moles checked and stuff. But I would say do what you can, preventative stuff. Just do that. But really, like, it takes – with health anxiety, it just takes so much really to make you feel, like, stable.
Yeah.
Because your brain can go – so, like, you need so to quickly. Do – ever you can to feel like to bring yourself back to the present moment, whatever that is, wherever you are, like to with like for me, I need to like move my environment, which is why I went to Marshall's, and it actually didn't help at first, but then I felt safe because I was around people. And then, like, you know, I put like water on my face. I drank like so much water. Oh my gosh, I was just sipping water. So I don't know. It's really hard when you get into these spirals, but just take care of yourself. That's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I liked this one. Someone said, do you have any anxiety products you'd recommend that I can purchase to help with an upcoming airplane trip? I'm super anxious about it. Okay. Well, first of all, Taylor, look up those episodes about flying anxiety.
Yes.
And what episodes they are, because that's one thing you should do is listen to. We have we definitely have one. I don't know if we have, but we have one really good episode on flying anxiety that would be really helpful for you to listen to. So Taylor will find that, what episode that is. But I would say also, depending on like what makes you anxious about flying, like for me, I went to last summer was the first time I flew in like over 10 years because like I do not like it either. And I knew that I needed noise canceling headphones. I knew I needed medication. I took a Xanax. I knew I needed the bracelets that actually an anti-nausea because sometimes the turbulence and stuff like that makes me feel sick. So like I got like these anti-nausea bracelets that really helped and they calmed me down. I needed water. I made sure I had water and like I had to sip it. I had my water bottle and like I got water when I got on there. I needed my iPad and my phone. I needed like listen to music. And I really practiced like breath work while I was in the airport, like waiting for, I did like a meditation as I was waiting. And did really great breath work. And I honestly listened to like our podcast episode and I listened to a couple other episodes too about flying anxiety. And really just remembered that like a lot of it was cognitive stuff too. Like I just really reminded myself of all the facts about flying and made sure that I was like focusing on what was going on while I was there. So like when I was waiting for the airplane, I was doing my meditations. Then when I got on the flight, like my family was there. So I was talking to them about a couple things. And, you know, I put on my music right away. I actually downloaded a couple shows that really make me – like I hadn't seen yet. I was really happy to see. So I watched like the shows. And I brought like an eye mask too. That was really helpful because I did want to like sleep a little bit. So I brought an eye mask and like the dark was really, really helpful for me. But yeah, what are some other things I think that could be helpful? Maybe like one of those neck pillows could be good too, like or your own pillow. Like just bring like a small pillow.
Just like knowing what work, like what brings you comfort and packing that all in like a bag, like your own little bag, you know?
Yeah.
And making that like your like anxiety flying bag.
100%. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And just knowing you have those resources to go to.
Yes. I feel like there were a couple.
And that flying is super safe, which episode 55 was really good.
Okay. So it was episode 55. Listen to that one. Okay.
Yes. Okay. My last question. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have bad anxiety with taking medications? I am so anxious about the side effects. I feel like we've touched this in a episode before, but absolutely yes. Just from my past, we've also spoken on this too, but with just my trauma with medication I've had in the past, especially like prescription medication, I just get super freaked out of having any type of reaction ever again happening. And you're not alone if you struggle in that. I think that medication in general is scary if you have anxiety, but I think that I have found ways to avoid taking medication in a lot of areas. However, you know, Western medicine is great in many cases. I mean, it's very needed. It keeps our society alive, and there's so many beautiful things that we've found through the later years of science. But yeah, for me, I just try to avoid things as much as I can, look for holistic routes. Being a dietitian focused in holistic healing is very helpful with that. But yeah, Allison, what about you? I know you're kind of, you feel the same way.
Wait, can you repeat that question? I'm sorry. I just completely dozed. No, I completely dozed out again. I'm like still, I'm still like in my head from earlier. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have bad anxiety with taking medications? I'm so anxious about side effects.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, I did hear what you said at the end about like the holistic, treatments and I, yes, of course I'm on board with that as a holistic practitioner, but you know, there is a time and place for medicine, and I totally believe in it. I'm not this, you know, person that's just going to like shun it all. No, but if it is prescribed appropriately and it's managed appropriately by a doctor that you trust, and they're not just like a pill popper doctor, they're not just like a pill mill, then that's why I always say with when it comes to psychiatric medication, seeing a psychiatrist is the way to go. I know it's very expensive, and majority of people listening probably get it from their primary doctor. Totally fine. I get it. But seeing a psychiatrist is going to give you so much more information into your brain and your mental health and what types of medications can truly, really work for you. So you're not like doing trial and error all the time. Also, genetic testing can be huge. If you can get genetic testing and see which medications might actually be more helpful for your brain chemistry, and what ones would it maybe be the best for you? But no, medication can be very necessary and so helpful. Like so many people I know have really, it's changed their lives. But again, you don't want to be dependent on it. That's the biggest thing. You don't want to be dependent on one thing. Right. So whether it's medication or whether it's like, you know, your breath work or it's like your, you know, ice baths you take or, you know, your best friend that you have to talk to when you're starting to get anxious, you should not be dependent on any one thing to just automatically take all your like fear away and stuff like that. That's not how healing works. So you just want to, if it's part of your toolkit, amazing. But you just want to make sure you're not just taking a pill and being like, yay, I took this pill. I'm totally cured. I'm done. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's my take. Sorry. I was in such a daze again just then. I was like,
listen, you need a break.
It was like such a weird day today.
Today's been a day. It was the first thing you said when we locked on before we pressed record. You were like, today's been a day.
Oh my God, I know. And I was like, I'm just getting into it. I don't even want to like, and I did tell you guys a little bit about it, but I did share like in real time, I was talking to like my subscribing community on the Anxiety Healer. And I was like, that actually helped a little bit. I like went like live and I, before that was on my stories and stuff, talking to the people that subscribe to my page and was just showing them like how things can really go. And I was just like, you know, you guys helped me so much and how it all like helped. But, you know, time moves forward. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
I think that's the one thing that so truly helps me too with these certain episodes is like I've gotten through I've gotten through so many in the past. I'll get through the day today and I know it. And it's like one day at a time.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. That's all my questions. I didn't get
that. That's
many.
It for you guys. 30 minute episode, short and sweet.
All right, you guys, we will be back next week. Love you all. Rate, review, subscribe, and we love you.
Bye, guys.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.